In the beginning of our faith, God. It has been the theme for the sermons on Sunday mornings this month. And we draw these studies to a conclusion by spending some time encouraging one another in the lessons that we've learned and explored as we sing them and teach and admonish one another in these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Our God is eternal, without beginning, without end. He is, He was, He will be. Or as Psalm 90 verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Our God is powerful. His power is demonstrated in His creative acts in Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Hebrew writer affirmed, for every house was built by someone, but He who built all things is God. And the Spirit, God, created from nothing everything that we see and touch and hear and know in this physical universe. He is all powerful. God knows all. He is all knowing. There are no secrets from God. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. He knows all. 1 John 3 verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. God knows all things. God is everywhere. He is not far from each of us. In Psalm 139 and verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? David asked. Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He is our God. And we can say all of this because God has spoken. We can say all of this because God has told us. We would never know any of these things unless God had chosen to speak and to reveal. And He did. He made His word, His will known. In Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He's appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. God has revealed His will at different times through different ones. The Holy Spirit moved men to preach, to speak, to write. And here is Scripture collected for us as the Bible. It is the testimony to God's truth. It is the written record of God's will that we might know Him. And I'll tell you that God's word follows after the God who spoke it. In other words, as we turn to Psalm 19, we find in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honey home. Like our God, His word is near. Like our God, His word is full of all truth and all wisdom. Like our God, His word is forever. Heaven and earth will pass away. His word will by no means pass away. His word is effective and powerful, shall always accomplish its intent. His word never fails. And we're going to sing a couple of songs now about our God who spoke. We're going to sing together the law of the Lord. It is an arrangement of Psalm 19, what we just read. Followed by thy word And we'll sing about how His Word is the guidance, the wisdom, and the knowledge which truly leads us. And then we're going to sing Give Me the Bible, about our attitude and heart, which is receptive, hungry, eager to know our God who has spoken. Let's all sing out as Brother Chris leads us in these three songs. Chris?
The Law of the Lord, all three verses.
The
song is Thy Word. Song is Give Me the Bible. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verse.
Give me the Bible.
Truly, we can look at creation and see that it testifies to the existence of a creator. It testifies to the existence of God. It is a natural revelation of him. But if we want to know him, his personality, his will, his desires, his pleasures, then we look to special revelation. We look to Scripture for that. Scripture is the record of God, his revelation, that we might know him. And we find passages that reveal how he is to be glorified and will not share that glory with any other. In Isaiah 42, verses 8 and 9, I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring, I tell you of them. What we learn about God here is that God makes prophecies. Something unique about the Bible, unique from all the world religions and pretenders to be God, is that our God can call the shots, if you will. He can name names. He can speak what's going to transpire decades, centuries, 1,000 years before the events unfold. And we find how they do unfold just as he said they would. What idol can do that? What false god can do that? There are none. Again, in Isaiah 46 and verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God prophesies, and his prophecies come to pass. They are fulfilled. God makes promises, and God keeps his word. When you see prophecies are fulfilled and promises are fulfilled, what's this tell you about our God? He is faithful. He is faithful to his word. You can trust God. You can trust his word. It is effective. It shall always accomplish what he intends. Before we leave Isaiah, I'd like to read Isaiah 55 and beginning in verse 8. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word never fails. And we come to the New Testament, particularly to Romans 10, to see that his intention with his word and with Scripture for people today, for you and I today, is to bring us to faith, to conviction and trust in God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 11, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is the word of God that produces faith. This word which is truth. It is the word of God, which is the gospel, the good news of truth. And that gospel, that good news, it doesn't change. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul makes this point so clear. The unchangeable nature of the gospel of Christ, for it would appear people were trying to change it. In Galatians 1 and verse 6, I marvel, he wrote to Christians, you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Why does the apostle say this twice? So that it is clear. The gospel has been once for all delivered. It's not going to be updated or changed, given to different culture, different time, different tastes. This is the message which saves. This is the truth of God's word, unalterable. And so those that would change into anything else are to be accursed. In Jude verse 3, beloved, while I was diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The faith is once for all delivered to the saints. And what does Jude tell the saints to do? Stand up for it. Stand upon it and stand up for it. Because this is the truth that saves. It cannot be changed or perverted, twisted. We stand upon it. We stand for it. Trusting in the faithfulness of God's word. That brings us to faith and obedience to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a few songs now about the power of faith that comes by the word of God. We're going to sing together Faith of Our Fathers. Which certainly underscores the truth that it does not change. Though false teachers come along, an angel may try, Paul says, but it cannot be changed. Faith of our Father says it is unchangeable and we must stand up for it. We'll then sing together Higher Ground, which again underscores this idea of standing upon His unfailing promises. Standing in faith, for God is faithful. And faith is the victory. It will be the last song in this section. Because faith wins, faith delivers, because God wins, God delivers. Let's all sing out. Brother Chris?
Second and fourth verse of Faith of Our Fathers.
Faith of Our Fathers.
Stand and sing together the next two songs. Sing Higher Ground, first, third, and fourth verse. This is the one in the 3-4 time, so try to get it right. I'm pressing
on the upward way you have made me every day.
Faith is the victory. So the first, second, and fourth.
In camps along the hills of mighty Christian soldiers rise.
Faith is the victory. It overcomes the world. Faith is for the world. God has not spread his truth and revelation in little bits amidst all the various world religions. We have to study them all and sort of put it all together and figure out what the truth is. The different philosophies of men. God is very clear. His word is truth. He has spoken. It is revealed. In fact, it is a matter of prophecy in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This blessed prophecy of the proclamation of the gospel was fulfilled in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, fulfilled in the first Pentecost following that true historical event. As the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the apostles and they preached the good news, the gospel, to people who had been assembled to Jerusalem from all over the world. And you recall that as the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, the miracle manifesting all this was a speaking of tongues, of languages, known languages that these men had never studied. In Acts 2 and verse 8, the people were wondering at this. They said, how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Again, in verse 11, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Because the good news, the gospel, was for all. It's always been for all the world. The scripture was written, this record we have, so that people would read it and come to faith in Jesus. In John chapter 20 and verse 30, truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Not just for people in Palestine, not just for people in North America, not just for people in some parts of Africa. I mean, everywhere, the whole world over. The word of God is for them. The gospel is calling for them. The word of the Lord is issued forth for all nations, that people might know the truth of Jesus Christ, to believe and obey and follow. And that is the work of disciples today. His people, his church today, to make this message known. To take the word of God to the nations, to all the world. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. God's word is for all. And it is the precious stewardship we have as his people and his church to take this word to others everywhere. Sometimes we get excited about the idea of reaching to a faraway place like a Palestine or Africa or wherever. Friends, it starts next door. The gospel is for all, and we talk to all about it. We're going to sing us up a couple of songs now about carrying the word of the good news to other people. We're going to sing Christ for the World We Sing, and then we're going to sing Jesus Saves. Brother Chris?
Sing all three verses of Christ for the World We Sing.
Friends and brethren, thank you so much for singing out tonight these wonderful truths. It's an encouraging time to be together and to lift up God, our praises to Him in song. We talk an awful lot here about making disciples. And what is a disciple? A disciple is one who honors God, learns from God, loves like God, and leads others to God, all while abiding in God's Word. And that's what we're about. Disciples are followers then of Jesus and followers of God's Word. We learned this morning the wonderful lesson about how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Son, begotten of the Father. And we made observation of a time when Jesus had great multitudes following Him and listening to His teaching. He began to share some very hard truths in John the 6th chapter. In fact, it says that many of His disciples turned back from Him and followed Him no more after this key address. Such a number had left that it seems Jesus even turns to the 12 and He asked if they would also depart. But John 6, verse 68, but Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. How can we know Jesus today? We know Him by His Word, by this Word, by the Scripture, by the Bible. That this is the source of eternal life because only Jesus Christ is the source of eternal life. Where else shall we go? We've been thinking tonight about in the beginning of our faith is God. It starts with God's Word to lead us to faith, to Christ, to life. Where else can we go? Jesus has the words of eternal life. Jesus is the way of eternal life. And I'd love for you to consider in your own mind what Peter and those 11 around Him were considering even then. Have you come to believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God? He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. There is no way to the Father but through Him. So are you in Christ? Have you been obedient to this Word and to this Gospel? The one way of salvation? The faith delivered once for all? Are you walking in it now? We'd love nothing more, I'd love nothing more than to stop everything to baptize someone into Jesus tonight. Who would claim Him as Lord, confess they believe that He is the Son of God. But if there's a child of God here tonight and you've not been living in accordance with the Word, you've been looking many other places than Jesus. You want to recommit your life and leave here in the right state. If we could pray for you to encourage you to minister to any spiritual need, we invite you to come forward. Obey the Word of God. Come forward now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?